Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Folks, don't forget that last statement. We need a meeting in Stouffville. And it's nice to have a meeting on the air and have two wonderful guests who I'll introduce momentarily. But it is nice to be able to come together physically and to share from whatever perspective we live. And that's part and parcel of what we're going to talk about today. I have Elizabeth Trombley.
Hello, Scott.
Hello there. And I would say she's a founder of Mentor Mentee. Would that be correct?
You would be Mentor Mentee Canada. Yes.
Excellent, excellent. And we'll learn all about that. Eddie Belitsky is no new man to this show. He'll probably tell you exactly whether it's 15 or 17 or 20. I'm not sure. But
actually, it's 18 today.
You see what I mean?
Nice.
So Eddie knows his stuff, and so does this lady, Elizabeth. Short drive up here. We had about half an hour together, I guess, and learning about her heart for what she does. And I'm going to ask her in no uncertain terms to give us a bit of that sort of a précis or a Reader's Digest synopsis or summary of what she has, what her dream is for Mentor Mentee. Yeah, can you come up with something like that really quick there, my friend?
Yes, I can dream. I can dream, but let's make it a reality, please. The end of homelessness, and definitely how about the end of poverty? We all need a mentor in our life. Everyone needs a mentor, especially those people that may not come across it in their professions or in their educations. Everybody needs a mentor.
That's a good description. And what in your lived experience, we'll say, does a mentor mean to you?
Right. It's that person that you can be completely honest with and connect with, who's nurturing and caring and has the time, especially in those moments of stress, in those moments of, you know, life's triggers, and you can rely on them. It's that wise friend.
Wow. Would it be also fair, Elizabeth, to say that it's also the person who you are very comfortable around, in that because of the comfort you're able to express, you're able to heart talk, if you will, as opposed to, just talk. So that, and the reason I'm bringing this up is part and parcel of what we talked about on the way up is what we do, I believe we do in the jails. And Eddie and I are both represented in the jail in some format or another. And not because we did time, but because we
yeah,
do time
that clear.
On an intermittent basis because we decide to. But if we can love the fellows and the gals that way and truly go there with the time that Elizabeth talks about and allow them to express, man, they love us back with a love that you don't get outside of jail. That's pretty phenomenal. Is that fair along those lines where I'm going there?
I do understand, and I appreciate your work so much, and I'm hoping to bring it more into Mentor Mentee Canada, because that is the biggest thing you can possibly do in the way of being a mentor and being that that trusted person in a relationship, that connection that's so important. And of course, that's when we're completely honest and real work gets done. Healing work. That's amazing what you do, Scott. You too, Ed.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask Ed now, Ed, your experience in terms of being a peer worker, with lived experience and so on. But you also go into the jails, and you've been going in for a little while now. Describe your experience as, having your lived experience also, but being able to go in there, sit with these guys, share with them, calmed down. I remember when you first thought about going in, you thought, well, I wonder what that's going to be like. But it didn't take long to realize. It's just the color of the uniform is different. Everything else is pretty much the same, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, like to be honest and be fair, I mean, I just turned right instead of turning left, and I could easily went down that road and ended up in places like that. I've done things with my addiction after my parents died, and, you know, I've just been taking pity. But as far as the experience, like you said, Scott, I was first a little bit apprehensive, a little bit nervous, a little bit scared. I don't know if I have the wit to go into Maplehurst, but I can definitely do the East Detention Center. You know, what I've learned from those people is that they're all human, and I have a cousin who was incarcerated, so this is kind of close to home for me. And I believe everybody deserves a second chance. Some people need 10,000 chances, and some people just need one chance in life, and that's really important to me. And I just look at my own life. I've been given a lot of great opportunities, and I deserve, pardon me, I think people deserve that they need the same. And that, you know, there's, you know, like there's an old saying, there's nothing but death and taxes, but in this world, but you can also believe that there's change. And I firmly believe you don't have to be young to change. You can be old to change. And I firmly believe that people can change their thinking patterns and their behaviors with time and right counseling and right guidance, and that you can change and you can become the person who you're meant to be. And I believe that my higher power, who I choose to call God, put me forward to do that for myself. And if I can help anyone along the way, then I think it's my duty and my responsibility to help. But the guys have been really good. I've learned a lot from the guys. They really know their stuff. And it's fascinating to me to find out if somebody does a crime that they put their time in, right? Like you do the crime, you do the time, right? And they don't, I'm sure some of them might not agree with their time sentences, but the guys that I've talked to say, no, I did the crime, I did the time, so I deserve to be where I am.
Man.
It's interesting. The fellows that I had out last evening at that jail there was only four of them, but at least two and maybe three of them expressed how pleased they were to be in jail. And that's not a real popular place there. Yet they were very pleased because they were relaxed for the most part. You know what I mean? They could go in their cells, and, you know, when they have range time, they could stay in their cells if they, you know, didn't want to come out and be exposed to the goings-on of a whole bunch of fellows in a range together. They could stay in and they could just relax. But they talked about, you know, being taken care of, you know, and it sounds the opposite of what most people believe, because we hear those horror stories about what goes on in these jails. But there are also people who really do gain the foundation they need to move to the next steps of recovery and hope and these sorts of things. And I think all we've got to do is lay out the platform. And as Elizabeth said, if we can give them that time thing. And one of the things we used to do is, you know, we've all got another meeting to go to. We'd try and cram a whole lot into a short period of time and pray that a certain amount sticks, kind of thing. And that was not a good philosophy. Not for me, anyway. To go now into a place, and Eddie has seen me do it, and he probably does it on his own, is we'll start the meeting, and if there's heart talk going on there, I don't change anything. And I don't try it. As facilitator, that's what I know heals. And that's what we know creates the platform for this love, or, you know, and all we're doing is giving grace to people who need grace. They need to be loved, these guys. And if they sense it, and they do, you know, I've had a guy, charged with murder say, you know, he actually felt loved in this meeting. And he was in a meeting with fellows from a whole bunch of different ranges, which for one thing is dangerous for a lot of reasons. But anyway, and he was able in the hour to not only express who he was and how he felt, he was comfortable enough. And if you know the way people like that work in terms of sharing, this is totally anti. This is the opposite of anything you would ever believe. They're sharing like from their hearts, but also putting the real stuff on the table about the sentencing and this and that, and trusting me, a guy who, you know, not one of them, and to be coming out with this stuff and saying that they felt loved. I mean, for these guys, that just doesn't happen. Wonderful though, and you know, and why? Because we kind of let it go. We let it go, you know.
And we had heart talk, and that's one thing that my sponsor and me do too. Like, we start a meeting off, and sometimes we don't even get to step work. Sometimes it's just heart talk. Yeah. Two guys, two alcoholics helping one another. Yeah. And that's one thing that I've learned. Like, you know, these guys in the jails are hurting, but they're overcoming their hurt, and they want to be loved, and they want to be... I won't say all of them, because there are a certain type that, like, there is a percentage, I don't know what it is, whatever, that will never be good, but I truly believe that the majority of them have made bad changes, and they really want to change their life.
Yeah, no, you're right, and the fellows who come out to see us, you know, they choose to come, you know, that's the difference. They're not mandated, you know, like a lot of times judges and courts will say, well, you have to do this or you have to do that. That's not how we get our people. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the guard solicit if that's the system of that place, or we solicit if that's the system in that place. But we ask people, we tell them what we plan to do, and if they would like, you know, if they're seeking, if they're hungry for whatever, recovery, freedom, you know, whether it's internal freedom, external freedom, you know, in the body, out of the body, whatever it is, we're interested in them, and they want change, so... It you know, it's not dangerous in any way either, generally. You know, I've seen a couple of things, but generally it's pretty cool. It's you know, you want to be loved, come on to the jails with us. And we need people, folks, out there. We need people. I need a lot of volunteers to express my dream, you know, and that's to get in every institution and offer this kind of place to come and be safe and to share and to go away feeling loved, because many people we meet have never felt loved, and here you know, you've got someone accused of murder saying he feels loved, and that could go to, you know, to no extreme in terms of positive for this guy, you know. So
for sure. Anyway, you two fellows are great mentors. You are great mentors, and you're doing the greatest work. And isn't it true that listening is so important, and just that readiness to change, that's what it takes. And you know, I definitely know that you're giving them all the right stuff, and it's just being there. And that's exactly what a mentor does too. They're there, and there can't be enough of them, that's for sure. And wouldn't it be great if we made less mistakes? Because yes, it's true, those mistakes can get you to that place where you're ready to change. But the idea is making less mistakes, and that's what mentors do. They help make less mistakes, lessen stress, lessen the possibilities of things going wrong by, you know, problem solving and just being there at the right time, you know, on call. And I don't like the idea of people getting comfortable in jail, I can tell you that, but I'm really glad to hear that news, that for some, that rehabilitation time, that works. It's the hardest thing when you hear, you know, I can only imagine the hardship, the suffering, and just to have someone like you two come in and be there for them, what a gift that is, and what a necessary thing that is for them to recover, to have that care to recover from trauma, because they are going through the most trauma, and just exactly what they're needing at the time is that nurturing love, that support, that connection. And where else are they going to get that but from you two and from others like you? I want to be a part of that too, definitely.
Well,
mentor mentee does
be.
Too
absolutely. Yeah, no, we want you to be, because even in this short little interview, I know you've got the heart for it. I've got good vibes here.
Oh, well.
And, you know, and I don't know if I'm sure you've heard it, but I love the slogan, if you will, that what you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying.
That's very beautiful. And
I love that, and that's what I get in this room today. There's a lot of peace, a lot of grace here, and this is exactly what we do in the jails, you know. And
bringing them peace.
Yeah,
wow.
They've got to be loved enough to withstand and endure.
Yes.
The steps of recovery, whatever those steps are.
Yes.
It's hard work.
It is. That's the toughest type of resilience that they've got to. Exactly what you said, endurance, and what better to do that than, you know, these books that I'm looking at around me, the 12 Steps to Happiness. I love that.
Yeah.
And that is, wow, when you think of some good coming out of that rehabilitation, that's exactly what we want, not the other way around. And part of mentor-mentee is, you know, making sure that there's someone at the gate when people leave. I've heard too many stories of, you know, people going back into incarceration because there's just nobody there for them. And they're left alone to do the wrong thing again because that's the only coping that they have at that moment. They don't have any support, not even the basics.
Yeah. You know, and that's a crucial missing piece of the whole system. Even if by chance, you know, by the grace of God, if you will, that we get enough time to be consistent with an inmate, which is rare because of lockdowns and changes of ranges and changes of where we're allowed to go and where we're not and all these different things. Consistency in recovery works. Inconsistency does not. So, you know, but providing we get certain things happen and we get enough consistency to at least establish a want, a need, a hope for hope or whatever, you know, a hope for hope that, you know, we have the credence and the sense to, you know, to put it all together and make things happen.
We're creating hope, definitely.
Yeah.
And if the more of you that there are, the more mentors that there are, the more people who share the burden, the more consistency that there'll be, because we all have the same amount of hours in the day, and we can do this if there's enough of us. I really believe that as we get together as organizations, as startups, as people wanting to make change and make a difference, the more we get together and increase our numbers, the more successful peer support will be. And it's a very accepted model. It's getting some funding in the city of Toronto now, which I'm so glad to. My hope is greatly, you know, for the homeless shelters. They're very broken right now. But and a lot of people come from the jail systems who, you know, find that door too, of course. And it's not a good door either.
And you know what, we'll get really a little more into that missing piece, because having somebody at the door is the key. You know, I'll close this segment with this. We find that, you know, the fact that that piece is missing, that they do get something reasonably consistent on the inside, but it's chopped dead as they're released from these institutions. So we tell them on the inside, you know, long before you're going to get out of here, if you've got a little bit of time, plan, please, to make the first thing you do on the outside of the walls different from anything you've ever done in your life before. Whether that's make a phone call, whether that's have a meeting set up, whether it's be taken to a shelter, to a rehabilitation center, to whatever. Plan it and make sure that the first thing you do is different than anything you've ever done in your life. And then maybe the second thing, maybe the third thing, maybe the fourth thing, maybe you'll truly be on a path to recovery and a path to a new life. Because if you go home and try and straighten out who you are and what you left behind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're going nowhere but back to the institution. It's just a matter of time. So you've got to start new, but you need that assistance that Elizabeth is talking about. You need a body, and it needs to always be there. And they need to know ahead of time that no matter what happens, there will be a body to help them on their way at the door. Wonderful. Beautiful. With that, Jay, I think we need to pay some bills. Can you look after that for us?
Yeah, time to pay some bills. We'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.